Lord Jesus Christ. Nowhere. That's the starting point for every one of us, as I prayed earlier. You've not begun in the Christian life until you have received the Lord Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. I'm not saying I have trusted Jesus Christ and I'm trying to do the best I can. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about I've trusted Jesus Christ and I'm a member of the church. I've trusted Jesus Christ and I've been baptized. I've trusted Jesus Christ and whatever. It's not Jesus Christ and anything. To say that is to say Jesus Christ's death on Calvary was not sufficient in itself to pay for my sin. And so it was sufficient. And so all that we need is faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you don't have that or you're unsure of that, why not make sure of that first? Start out there together. And then, of course, once we start there, God doesn't want to leave anyone just there. He wants to begin a good work in you, of transforming you into the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's His predetermined goal for you. And He's going to continue to do that until the day of Jesus Christ, it says. And so in that process, He wants us to be allowing God to take His word and to show us what Jesus Christ is like, and then have us submit to the process of the Holy Spirit changing us to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God does with every Christian from the day you're saved until the day you die or the rapture takes place. That's His goal for you. And I hope that you're on that journey. And if not, we'd love to talk with you after the service and get you started in that direction. And if you have any questions, I'll be glad to speak to you about it. But for right now, if you take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We will get there eventually. I'll be using some other scripture as well and referring to it. But I want to speak to you today about something I believe is very important and timely as we are about to head into the fall ministries. The most important parts of all projects, I've been told and have seen to be true, is the starting and the ending. Starting well and ending well. I've told that to our choir. I said, hey, if we get the beginning of the song right and the ending of the song right, it can forgive a whole lot of mess-ups in the middle. And of course, the middle is important too for all things because it reveals faithfulness. It reveals a discipline to what God has called us to and the project that's before us. But we're just finishing up now with our summer months. Kids are back at school. We're about to start, as I said, in a couple of weeks here with our Sunday night youth ministry and adult Bible study, as well as certainly all of our other services that we have. And it is important for us to answer the question, and I ask you this morning, how will you start? How will you start the fall ministries here? Sunday morning, Sunday school, preaching time here. Sunday night with our youth ministry or adult Bible study, Wednesday night with our prayer meeting, all of these opportunities and more, how will you start? How will you begin? Well, there are three things that I think can help us to start and end well. And it's illustrated by something else that's about to start up here in the fall. It's called hunting season. And whether you are a bow hunter or a black powder or a rifle, as far as with deer, turkey, and the occasional bear may be out there, but if you are a hunter, well, you will appreciate, I think, some of the insight that we can look in comparing the two. And we will do that. It's I've entitled the message this morning, and it's something similar to the kind of a statement where you've heard advancing on your knees. Do you know what that's about? That we go forward while on our knees in prayer before the Lord. Well, the message title today is Moving Forward While Standing Still. Moving Forward While Standing Still. Father, I pray that you would allow me your Spirit's direction and power as I preach this morning, as we look into this particular topic and our soon starting up with these ministries. And I pray that we would have not just an understanding of the truth of what is being communicated, but Lord, through your Holy Spirit, you would touch each one of our hearts. As I mentioned earlier, we're here with a purpose that you have for us. And I pray that we would understand that purpose and see your plan for us. And more importantly, that we would submit to that before we leave today. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. We need several things here. First of all, in order, I believe, to help us to start out well, and not just start out well, but to end well, we need a renewed direction, God's direction. In the illustration that I've mentioned, as we look at hunting, no matter whether or how powerful the bow may be or the rifle may be, it doesn't matter how skilled the hunter or the shooter may be, if it's not aimed in the right direction, you're not going to hit the target. That's obvious. And so we need the right direction. We need God's direction as to what He wants for us. It's not up to us just to make our own plans. It's not up to us just to set our own goals. But we need to say, Lord, what is the goals that you have for me this fall? What is the direction that you want me to be? What services am I supposed to be involved in? Not just in attendance, but in service and in helping and participating. What is it that you want in these goals? God has a direction. God has a goal for each one of us. We need to recognize it. We need to desire it. Some of those goals may be certainly being like the Lord Jesus Christ, as I've already mentioned. But there are goals like, I want to be walking more closely with the Lord in fellowship. I want to be growing in grace and knowledge and the spiritual graces and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be addicted to something. Like what we read in 1 Corinthians 16:15 with the household of Stephanus. They addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, to serving other people in the church. And we ought to be addicted. We ought to devote ourselves to serving and helping in needs within the church as we serve God in serving one another to benefit and to encourage one another alike. We ought to be witnessing to the truth of the gospel. We ought to be not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as Hebrews 10 says, but we are to be exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Someone said, I believe this past Wednesday, was talking about that, you know, more and more they're hearing that, get ready, it's coming with implants and so forth to be able to identify you and do such and such. Is that the 666 with the mark of the beast? And while it may not be exactly, but it may be the forefront of it, it certainly tells us that we are getting closer and closer to the rapture of the church and the beginning of the tribulation period here on this earth, when that will actually take place. And so we have those things, and we are not to be forsaking in our assembling, our gathering together. But while we're gathered together to hear from God and to serve Him, we ought to be encouraging, exhorting one another during those times. When you come to church, is it all about what you're thinking about you and what you're hoping we're going to sing and what we're hoping you're going to hear? Or are you thinking about how you can be a help and encouragement to other people as well? And so it's important for us to have that mentality and the goals that God has for us. But unlike shooting, once you release an arrow, once a bullet is fired, there's not too much that changes the direction of that. I understand that, you know, arrow may hit a branch or something and veer off some, or a bullet might be affected by the wind in a long distance. But for the most part, once you pull the trigger, once you release the arrow, it's set and it's going toward a particular direction. With us, that's not always the case. We may start out in a particular direction. We may be aimed at God's goal for us, but we can very easily drift away from that. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love, we sing. And it's easy for us as believers to maybe have the right goal, to be focused on that goal and be headed toward that goal, and then veer off because we lose focus and concentration of it. So the problem then is that we can lose sight of God's direction, God's purposes, God's plans, His priorities for us, and we can miss His goal for us in this school year because we drift away. So here's the test. What should we do? Well, we need to, first of all, evaluate our focus. Evaluate our focus. What are we looking at? What are we focused on? What are we aiming at? What are the goals that you have really taken note of that God wants for you? What are they? Evaluate. Evaluate your concentration. What are you desiring? Are you desiring to please God, or you're desiring to please yourself? King Collier from the Wilds, I remind you of what he said, there are two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. And that's the way it comes down to. Are you making decisions just to please yourself of what you would be wanting to do, or are you making decisions that you feel would best please God? What are you concentrating on? Evaluate that concentration. Evaluate your priorities. Don't let other things get in the way, even accidentally get in the way. As one has said recently, the main thing should be the main thing. And don't let other things sidetrack you from that purpose that God has emphasized in your life. So are your priorities what God says that they should be? Are your priorities what God says they should be? And if not, then what is the correction? There are two things I give you. One is we are to submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit's control. Right direction has to do with right control. You've heard the statement before when he was asked, do you believe in gun control? He says, yes, I do. You hold it with two hands and you face straight at you. There is a joke with that, but certainly there is to be control. And it's the Holy Spirit's control in our life that I'm speaking and referring to. And we are to submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit's control and leading and direction in our life, and for us to be able to have that right direction. Be obedient unto the things that God has already revealed to you and shown you, the things that you know, be obedient unto those things that the Holy Spirit has dealt with. Secondly, not only submit yourself, but you should subject yourself. To Bible teaching. Subject yourself to the services that we have that give the opportunity for you to hear the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. It may be Sunday school teaching. It may be the adult Bible study or youth ministry. It may be preaching of this nature. How much do you need? How many times do you eat physically? How much do you need? I tell you, we're often much more concerned about our physical meals than we are our spiritual meals. And we need to understand that this physical body has needs, but our spiritual life has needs as well. And we need to understand that we just can't go on and go on and go on without exposure to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, without daily consumption of that, even in our personal study and Bible time. We need that in order to properly grow and develop. And I encourage you with it, because it's so easy for a believer to fall out of that, to waver from that, and to get used to not having that. And we need to be reminded, the correction. Submit yourself, Holy Spirit's control, subject yourself to Bible teaching, to learn. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing God's truth, God's word. We've got to put forth that effort to learn what God says and to heed what he says. You can't submit to what you don't know. And so we need a renewed direction, God's direction. Secondly, in order to have a good start and a good ending there, we need a renewed integrity. What do I mean by that? Well, in our illustration with hunting, any bullet or arrow that loses its integrity in flight is going to have a diminished direction of a goal of hitting it at all, even at that. It may be that the fletching comes off of the arrow, or maybe the bullet itself begins to break apart. Whatever it is, coming apart, that razor on the tip of the arrow spinning because it's loose, all of those things can affect the direction and the accuracy of the arrow or of the shot. The problem then, that flaw would represent to us in our spiritual walk, it would represent sin, obviously. And sin will affect the quality or character of your life before God, our spiritual arrow, if you will. And no matter how true the aim, no matter how powerful the gun or the bow, if the arrow or the bullet does not have the integrity to it, it's not going to meet the bullseye. It's not going to maintain the goal. And so we must understand the test. How do we know if there's sin present in our life? Well, certainly we can ask God. Psalm 139, last couple of verses there. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, God, as I've said many times, God already knows. We're not saying, search me, O God, because you don't know yet. But we're saying, search me, O God, and reveal to me. Search me, O God, so I can understand if there's a wicked way in me. If there's something lacking in me. If some part of my life is sin that's caused my integrity with you to be diminished. Reveal that to me that I may deal with that. 1 Corinthians 11:28 says, let a man examine himself. And we are to examine ourselves. Let me ask you this. Examine yourself in comparison to who or what? Let me use our illustration again. Those of you that have been hunting, those of you that have sighted in a rifle or a bow, what that means is you go out to a particular area and there's a target a certain ways out. For rifle, it may be out 100 yards or so, and you have a scope and you are sighting in your rifle to match what the dot is on your scope. And same thing with the sights on your bow, to make sure that if you put the sight right on the bullseye that and let go, that's where the arrow is going to hit, or that's where the bullet is going to arrive. But if you're out there and you're sighting in your rifle, what are you sighted in comparison to? Let's say you shoot your rifle and here's the bullseye and it goes out, and then here's the page out here, and you hit out here on the outside of the edge of the page. And you look around, and nobody else even hit the page at all. Hey, I'm doing pretty good, right? No. You don't sight in compared to other shooters that are out there. You sight in compared to the bullseye. That bullseye doesn't move. And so with us as believers, when we compare ourselves as far as examining, we don't compare ourselves amongst each other. We don't say, you know, I think I'm doing pretty good. I come to church a lot more than they come to church. I'm not pointing, you know, whoever I'm pointing at. I come more than they do. I serve more than they do. Second Corinthians, God says, Paul the Apostle wrote, 2 Corinthians 10:12, but they measuring themselves among themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, what does God say? Are not wise. If you're not wise, what are you? That's what we are when we start looking around at other people and judging whether or not we think we are okay. We are to compare ourselves with that which does not move. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. The living Word of God is our goal, to be like Him. The written Word of God is all about Him. Search the Scriptures, He said, for in them you find they are all about Me. We are to look into the Scriptures. We are to see what Jesus Christ is like. And we're to let the Holy Spirit then change us stage by stage into the same image. 2 Corinthians 3:18. That's what God wants. But we need to evaluate ourselves to test how we measure up to God's goal. And then if we don't measure up, if our integrity is not right because of sin, after evaluation, then we are to repent and confess that, forsake our sin, confess it unto the Lord. In Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh him shall have mercy. And we will. We are to genuinely confess our sin, 1 John 1:9, and if we do, he will genuinely forgive us. But a key word in all of that that I'm emphasizing is genuinely. There's no flippant saying, you know, I sinned, yeah, God forgive me. You know, I plan on doing it next week too, but that's not the way it works, you see. We have to repent of our sins, that's turn from it. We genuinely don't want anything to do with that anymore, and we confess it unto the Lord genuinely. Confess means to say the same thing about it. And so we say the same thing about our sin as what God says about it. I lied. I'm a liar, God. I profess that. I admit that to you. And when you forgive me, I know you will, because you said you will faithfully and justly forgive me. We say the same thing. And we ask God, don't just say, God, forgive me for all my sins. That don't work that way. That's not what God is talking about. Just like with our blessings, we're to name them one by one. When we come to our sins to confess them, we better be naming them one by one. And if we name everything that we can think of, he is faithful and just to forgive us that, and even to cleanse us from all unrighteousness that we might not even be aware of. But we've got to be willing to the confessing and the repenting of what we do know of. That's the way that we work, to have renewed integrity. And then we need, finally, a renewed velocity. In an illustration with a bullet or arrow, if it does not have the proper power projecting the arrow or the bullet, it's not going to meet the target. It's going to fall short. If you're a hunter and you go and you have this nice arrow, And brand new, and you put that nice sharp arrowhead, that razor blade tip on it, and brand new fletchings, and you know you got that, and you go out there with your son's toy bow. Are you expecting really to accomplish anything with that? It does not have the power to project that arrow to meet a target, let alone to do any damage, hardly. And so we have to have renewed velocity. The test then, by the way, the toy bow would represent our own power. You know, Jesus addressed that in John 15, where he said that he is the vine, we are the branches. And the way he goes on to explain it, the vine is a grapevine. Illustration that they had, and if you take one of the branches of the grapevine and you break it off and you lay it out on your deck, can you expect that's going to grow any grapes in the future? No, because it's been removed from the vine. The life is in the vine. The nutrients are in the vine. All that's needed to produce fruit is in the vine. And Jesus went on to say that without me, you can do nothing. It's not our power in the branch. It's the power is in the vine. And it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must rely upon His power, His Spirit, in order to have the power, the right velocity of our arrow, of our bullet, our life, and to be able to hit the target, the goal that God has for us. So what's the test? How do we know if we've got the proper power? Again, it's self-evaluation. Do I approach each task? Do I approach the things that I believe that God wants me to do without stopping to say, Lord, I acknowledge to you that I can't do this apart from you. I need your power. I need your strength. Or do we just go ahead and do our life every day and the things that we have and what we try to do, whether it's teaching Sunday school or helping out in the nursery or whatever the case may be, do we try to do those things just in our own strength? We need the renewed power, the velocity. We need to acknowledge our inadequacies and we need to ask for God's empowerment for us. So the correction, if we don't do that properly, then we need to confess our sinful self-reliance. That's a sin. But that's just to rely upon ourselves. So we need to confess our sinful self-reliance. We need to acknowledge our inadequacies. Lord, I can't do this apart from you. I can't. We need to ask for God's power and blessing. When I first came here, was voted in as pastor of the church, I chose a ministry verse in my life. And in that ministry verse, 1 Chronicles 4:10, the prayer of Jabez, there are four things that are mentioned, and this is why I chose it. This is what my prayer was. The four things primarily was, Lord, I want you to bless me indeed. Oh, isn't that wonderful? I want you to enlarge my coast. Enlarge coast, the borders of opportunity, the borders of having influence, of ministry. I want your hand to be upon me. God's power. And I want you to keep me from the evil one and the evil way. Those four things primarily became my life ministry verse. Lord, I want you to bless me. I want you to give me more opportunities. I want your hand of power to be upon me. And I want you to keep me from the evil one and the evil way. We need to acknowledge and say, Lord, I can't, but you can. And I need your power. I need your blessing. I need your hand to be upon me. That's what we need. And it comes with this attitude here finally in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. That was the introduction. Here we go. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Here's the King Jehoshaphat's example to us. King Jehoshaphat got word that the Moabites were going to be invading, a large number coming upon them. And so what does he do? In verse 3, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. All right. First of all, we see personal prayer. He went before the Lord to seek the Lord. What am I going to do? What can I do? I'm the leader. I'm the king. What have I got to do here? Not only did he do that, but he also had a prayer meeting. In verse 4, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. He got all Judah together in Jerusalem, and all of them were going to ask. They were going to have a prayer meeting. And notice also something else, just a side note, verse 13. All Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, and their wives, and their children. You know, the prayer meeting wasn't just for the adults. It was for the children as well. parents don't rob your children of prayer times and being exposed to that. But we have here there was a prayer meeting. And not only that, but we see, understand verse 9, where he had understanding, he said, if when evil cometh upon us as the sword, a judgment, a pestilence, a famine, if we stand before this house and in thy presence, in parentheses, for thy name is in this house, if we stand before thee in your house, in your presence, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou will hear and help. If we come before God and we cry out to him in prayer and help, then God will hear and God will help. He is there for that. Not only do we see that, but notice this most important part, the proper perspective. Verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. God, I can't stand before what this is. I don't know even what to do. Lord, I'm going to keep my eye on you because I know that you know what to do and I know that you have the power to accomplish it. Faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. We need to recognize and acknowledge that we can't, but that he can. And with a proper perspective, the Lord, I don't know, but I'm keeping my eye on you. I'm keeping my eye on you. I came across this question. Y'all stick with me just for a few minutes here. I came across this question. What do you do when there's nothing that you can do? What do you do when there's nothing that you can do? A couple years ago or so, at least, there was a song sung in our church as special music. And I'm just going to read the first verse of it in the chorus, and you'll catch out of it the emphasis. The Father has a plan, though it's hard to see it now. You feel you're walking all alone, but he is there, no doubt. When the storm around you rages and you're tossed to and fro, when you're faced with life's decisions and not sure which way to go, stand still and see God move. Watch God move. Let him move. Standing still is hard to do. When you feel you have reached the end, he'll make a way for you. Stand still and let God move. That's what we're to do. And that's the advice that the priest gave unto Jehoshaphat down here in verse 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. That's what they were to do. Stand still and see God move. Renewed velocity. We need God's power. We may not know even what to do, but he does. And if we'll wait on the Lord, he will give us that direction and that strength. Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Notice it says, stand still. It didn't say sit still. Stand still. Keep the posture of an upright man because there's going to be something for you to do. And verse 17 went on to say it. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. Tomorrow, here's the movement, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Stand still and let God move. and then go and do as he sees and says. 1 Corinthians 15:58 incorporates both of them. Read this morning by Frank in our opening. It says, therefore, beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, stand still, always abounding in the work of the Lord, moving. Stand still, and yet get busy for the Lord. For you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The title, moving forward while standing still. Let's start this school year correctly. Attending the services, serving as God would have us to do, standing still on the things that we should, moving forward, doing and obeying on the things that we should as well. I pray that this would be your desire, and not just a desire, but your commitment to God, that you would be involved in that way. Every head bowed, please. As we go into the invitation, I've talked to you about this particular need of evaluating in these areas. Do you have the proper direction? Do you have the proper integrity? Is there sin in your life that needs to be dealt with? Do you have the proper power? Are you acknowledging your inadequacies and asking for God's strength, power to be used? Stand still on what God wants you to stand, and get moving on what God wants you to get moving. It's time we quit letting the devil direct us differently and follow what God says. And as I began this message and said, have you and do you know for sure that you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you have any question whatsoever about that, as we have this invitation in just a moment, I encourage you to let go of that pew and to come down this aisle, and let's deal with that before you leave today, because not a one of us today are guaranteed tomorrow to live. Why take a chance when God is prompting your heart right now? Father, I pray that you would help us to be honest with ourselves, that we would seek to be who you want us to be and to do what you want us to do, not by any power of our own, but by your Spirit's power in our life. May you help us to take your word, to understand it, and to use it and follow it. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for all of it. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.